Okay, this is Peggy Van Skoik. I am here at the Page Walker Hotel this morning. It is Monday, March 9th, 2009, and I am here with Mr. Guy Mendenhall, who hopefully is going to tell us about his illustrious career at Cary High School, where he was a...
Athletic director.
Athletic director for many, many years.
12 years,
yes. So, well, first of all, let's start out, were you born in Cary, or when did you get here?
Well, I was really born in Raleigh, downtown, in the old hospital, Rex Hospital, beside Memorial Auditorium, which people don't even remember it was there. But I was born there in 1936 and lived in Raleigh off of Hope Street across from NC State Bell Tower. And in 1941, my parents bought 16 acres right beside Ephesus Baptist Church. So we moved there, and we lived out in, we would say, the boonies. And finally, as my dad's hard work, we got the house fixed up, got running water, got facilities inside, and we lived there until I went to Cary High School, started only in the 10th grade. My parents sent me to the Raleigh City Schools along with my sister, who's 14 years younger. Her name is B. Smith, and 14 months younger, excuse me. So we went to Raleigh schools, and when I was in the 10th grade and she was in the 9th, we decided we wanted to come to the Cary schools. And so my parents weren't really excited about that, but I'd already tried out for the JV football team at Cary. So then we started coming to Cary High School in 1951. She started in 50 as a 9th grader, and I started as a 10th grader. So I went my 3 years at Cary High School. In my graduation class in 1954, there were 76 people, graduated from the stage at Cary High School, had a senior play at Cary High School. Fortunately, they saved the stage. It's still there.
So this is the old Cary High School on Academy Street.
At the end of the street.
You graduated from that school.
Right. It's the same one that I graduated with Charlie Adams, who lives in Chapel Hill. He and I graduated together. So we were in that class of 54, we had everybody in Cary. We had a lady named Miss Marley, J. Claire Marley. She was the English teacher and also the drama teacher, and very, very much involved with drama, which most seniors took. The course was right after lunch, and we did a play. And every senior class did a play, and it was just a kind of an understood thing that everybody in Cary came to see the senior play, and the auditorium was always full. Don't remember how much it said, probably maybe 300 at the most, maybe less than that. But anyway, that's where we had most of the activities that took place in Cary. The Cary Presbyterian Church started there my senior year, meeting in there until where it built a building later on. And so then I went to 4 years at East Carolina. We were very fortunate athletic-wise that the football team at Cary, which played behind Cary Elementary, if you go back there, it's kind of hard to realize that was a football field, but the road was really narrow, and it was dirt. When you made the turn at Cary Elementary, it was all down Cary there, it was a dirt farm. There was only three houses on the whole house, on the whole road, and all those were wooden structures with tin roofs. Mr. Kiesler had his killed the farm there where he raised cows and supplied the milk to Pine State Creamery, which is no longer in existence. So anyway, that was the dirt road that was down there. The thing I remembered mostly in high school, when it rained very hard, the road was so messy that school buses were not allowed to go pick up the kids. They did not come to school because they were scared of a wreck, which had happened with a bus earlier back in 49 on Reedy Creek Road. And so I went to high school the 10 years there, played basketball. Played in the Cary Elementary Gym, which is still in existence. Played the first game in there in 1952, my junior year. We played Wendell, that was the first game. And my whole basketball career at Cary, my junior and my senior year, we only lost two basketball games. The football team in 2 years only lost one football game in 4 years and got in the state playoffs and won a state championship. My senior year in high school, we won a state championship also in 1954. We had to play like 32 games, and we only lost one game that year, and that was to Broughton High School in the Coliseum right before an NC State basketball game. And it was a big thing in Cary to play in the Coliseum, particularly Broughton, which was two classifications larger than Cary High School. Unfortunately, we stayed even with them but lost in the last quarter. And that was the only blemish that we had on our basketball record. We did get to the state playoff, playing in the regional playoff games in Lewisburg, where we beat Red Oak three overtimes, 28-26, and people still talk about that, one of the most exciting games they'd ever sat through. And so that was the basketball career. I went on to play at East Carolina, and Charlie Adams, who was on that team, went to play 1 year at Carolina with Frank McGuire, and then later he transferred to Carolina. So that's the high school career. Out of my senior class at Cary in 54, it was the largest percentage that went off to college of anybody up until that particular time. There was a lot, and a lot of them went into the Air Force, a lot of them went into the Navy, a few went into the Marines. But in my class, it's kind of unique in that there were four couples who married somebody in that class. I don't know what it was because they didn't have any other people to learn to date because we were such a small area community. But anyway, that's kind of unique that it happened. And in that class at 55, my sister married the boy that she went with in high school, and there were two other couples that married. There may have been more, but I'm just not familiar with that. So that's the high school career. Simon Turrell was our basketball coach. He was only there for 2 years. Several years ago, we got the idea of putting a bench in his memory in front of Cary High School Elementary, the elementary building now. And the bench is still there, and they're getting ready to renovate that. And the bench will be put somewhere back on the grounds when they decide to do that. Coach Turrell lived in a Teetridge, which was right beside Cary Elementary, and people don't know what a Teetridge was. It's a parking lot now. But a Teetridge was built in the country areas for teachers primarily to live in because they had no other places to attract the teachers to live when they came to Cary. There was no, unless you wanted to buy a house, and those teachers back then didn't have enough money to buy a house, and there was no houses to rent. So the county built a Teetridge in the 1930s, and this is where the teachers and the coaches stayed there. It was right beside that parking lot. You could go down the steps in the Teetridge across the, and you could be there within 2 or 3 minutes if you had a class. And a lot of, most of the teachers at Cary stayed in that Teetridge. But later, after I went off to college, I came back and they had condemned it and tore it down, and it was a parking lot and for the elementary teachers to park in. My daughter went to Cary Elementary in three grades. At one time, it became a sixth grade year, became a sixth grade center, we'll call it, where all the sixth graders went to that school along with grades 1 through 5. But all the sixth graders were housed in that, what is now the, was the elementary building, but will, of course, be converted into a cultural arts center. And that was the most things that I can think of as far as the elaborate things that took place. Most of the students who lived at Cary High School worked on farms. Most of them were tobacco farms over in the Swift Creek area. Maynard Road is named after the Maynard family who lived in what is now the State Credit Union Bank beside Burger King. That was their house. There were only two houses. The other house is still standing there, but that road was also a dirt road. And there were only two houses, and the Maynards, what is now called Coronado Village, that was their tobacco farm. The pond that is in Coronado Village, that's what they used to irrigate their tobacco field with. And Cary High School is sitting on the Maynard tobacco field also, the present location. And when that school was built there, and I'm going to say 1962, I may be wrong on that, I'm not really sure. Maybe been 60 or 62, I remember it was an even number. It was way out in nowhere. When you rode by, it looked like a school that probably should have been built in Florida because of the construction of the building. There was a building, there was a breezeway, there was another big building, and there was a breezeway for the kids to walk through. And it was built primarily for only 600 students. But when the research triangle came in, it was just over flooded with students and people moving in so fast that the school system couldn't keep up with it. And so that was my career going to high school, for what I remember right there.
That's fantastic.
I came to Cary High School as athletic director in 1977. My daughter had graduated in the spring of 77. Up until that time, I had coached basketball at Idaho for 12 years, riding back and forth from my home right beside Evans Baptist Church to Enloe to coach basketball for 12 years. My wife taught at Northwoods Elementary, the elementary school going down towards Marshall on 54. She was an elementary school teacher there for 29 years, staying in one building for 29 years. That just blows my mind, one building for 29 years. But anyway, that's where she finally decided she wanted to retire. But so I came to Cary High School in 1977 as athletic director. At that time, Cary was the second largest high school in North Carolina. It had only 10 through 12, no ninth graders. They all were down at East Cary. And Athens Drive was not built at that particular time. I do remember one time counting in front of Cary High School, at least 18 trailers were all around there for the kids to go to because it was so crowded. When my daughter went there, she was the head cheerleader at Cary. I was the basketball coach at Enloe. And so for 2 years, she cheered against me. Every time we played a game, she was sitting there hollering, "Go Cary," and the cheerleaders from Enloe were saying, "Beat Cary." And I think we kind of split 500 of the times that we played. But we never talked about it at home. We just never brought it up. Whenever we'd win, she'd say, "Nice game." Whenever we lose, she'd walk in and say she had a nice game. So anyway, it was a nice game whether we won or lost. That was just her way of saying it. And I feel sure she got kind of asked by the coaches and the other cheerleaders whenever they knew what was happening, what was going on. But anyway, so I came to Cary and was athletic director. I taught 4 history classes. And it was something I'm not sure that I would go through and do again under those circumstances. It was a 12-hour day, sometimes went even longer than that. When you teach 4 history classes and do the papers and the grades and all that, then you had 1 hour in the morning to get the buses straight for the coaches to take their trips with their teams, and then you had the hour. I had one free period before school was out to get all that straight about what was going to take in place with getting the fields lined off and people to take up the money and all that kind of sophisticated things that go along with athletic director that people don't realize at times. But anyway, I did that for 16 years, and then finally I gave that up and went back to teaching in the classroom. I did driver's ed for 3 years and thoroughly enjoyed that. It was a situation where nobody bothered me. I could do what I want to.
Was that at Cary High?
And that was at Cary High School, all of it. And then I taught it during the summer also. And used an expression I called the coaches who did driver's ed, we called that our blood money, because that's what we had to have to teach to survive on during the summer. And at that time when I first started doing it, North Carolina school was only in existence for 9 months. And I do not remember the year they changed it to 10 months for teachers, with the teacher's work day, which was spread out, a little longer vacation days and teacher work days and things of sort that went through that, that they went through. And that made it more difficult to find more things, you know, something to live on for 3 months when you were not teaching. Well, as time went on, the teachers at Cary, I talked with some that had my daughter would talk about that were her teachers, and they were all there at the high school. And as time went on, the 12 years I was there, when they built another high school, Athens, the population at the school got smaller.
Okay, there we go.
That was a problem. Okay,
yes.
We're live.
Yeah, we're live.
Okay. Things that happened at Cary High School, I can remember. The annual is called the YRAC, which is Cary spelled backwards. And in my class, when I was there, that's what the annual was called. And I'm going to jump around here a little bit. But when Cary High School was first started, it is the oldest chartered high school in North Carolina. 1896 by the legislature, and the charter is still hanging in Cary High School. In 1992, a principal came in there, Donna Hargan. She was moving things around in her office, and she stopped and she read the charter and realized in 4 years that Cary High School would be 100 years old. At that time, I was getting ready to retire, and so it was my last year there, not knowing at the time. So they got all the ninth graders together, went to the auditorium, had Tom Suter come from WREL to talk to him about being the 100th class, and he finally told them in the assembly. Now, when you tell ninth graders 4 years in advance, they're going to be the 100th class. You might be talking to a stone wall because they were so unimpressed. I remember that because I was teaching a ninth grade class at that time. And they got they liked the idea of getting out of the last period of the day more than anything else. And as time went on and they got to be juniors, and I'd already retired and back up there subbing every now and then, they realized what an important event that was going to be. And so a committee started getting together with people who had been in Cary or moved in Cary that we found might be interested in celebrating the 100th year in 1996. And so we planned a parade. We were going to do it during the summer. The band director says no, he could not get the band students together. So we did it before school was out. And skipping around here, we identified or got close to maybe 5,000 former graduates. At that time, the emails were not that big a thing, but with communications with the class presidents that the group could find, going through the Cary News, which is a big help, putting it in the paper, they assigned one editor, one person, and that's all she did was report, do things on the 100th year. And so we had a parade starting that morning Saturday with the Cary band. There were 96 units in that. Anybody in Cary that had graduated, anybody that wanted to put anything in the parade could do so. There were old cars. There were people who came from out of town who had graduated from Cary. Local people rode in parades. You did your own banners on the side of your car. There were some businesses who put floats in the parade. And so it was a big thing. There were people standing along the side like Cary Band Day. And so we had that done. And after the parade, everybody that had gone through the school and they put like three graduating classes together. Like mine was 53, 54, and 55. We all met in a room with a sign. It was pretty well planned. Got a hold of class presidents and anybody. They could all come and meet and talk. And then that was in the afternoon and the Cary school building was full. For all the memorabilia that you had, it was put in the media center. And if you brought something, we more or less would like for it to be kept there. As the time went on, they collected all the annuals of Cary High School. First one was in 1918, and it was called the Christie, C-H-S-T-I-E. And I'm going to presume the C-H-S stood for Cary High School. The T-I-N on the end, I have no idea what that stood for. But they have all the annuals. Now, doing... They're in the media center at Cary High School right now. From what I understand, during the Depression, there was no annuals. During World War II, there were no annuals. And then somewhere in the 40s, they started back. But they're in the media center, and anybody can go in there and go back in a room and sit down and look at them. After I had left, I went back and took the one in 1918 and set up to about like 1 o'clock in the morning going over that and just looking at that. There is, of course, a picture of all the Cary High Schools are in what the Donna Horrigan's the principal, what she called the Centennial Hall. There is a picture of all the Cary High School buildings done by the local artist Jerry Miller, who donated that, all in the up in the ceiling area along the side. Most of them are big pictures. And the symbol that they used was the first Cary Elementary building. I'm going to assume that a Cary building that was used, I'm going to assume that that was in 1896 when they first started. And that's the symbol that they used. And they put it on stationery that they did. They did so many things. Ms. Horrigan's was very apt to doing traditional things. And so we went on during the day and with the committees. After we got through meeting in the alumni's coming back to the schools. I do know my daughter's class of 1997 had a big crowd show up. So I went down because a lot of them had come to my house and had visited and said hello to them. And then they went out to the football stadium. There was 100 chairs set in the middle with a sign going from 1896 to 1996. Fellow that does the news broadcast on one of the local radio stations got on the PA system in the football field, and through the Cary News, they had something that had taken place during that 100 years for every year. Oh. Start with 1896, somehow they had dug this out, and he read. Anybody that wanted to could go sit behind one of the chairs with the sign and the emblems. To my knowledge, they still have those signs somewhere in the school building. The fellow in charge of them that did that, Kirk Lindening, who's the athletic director now, but at that time was assistant athletic director and head trainer and graduated from Cary High School also. He was responsible for doing that and put many, many hours in doing that. And so they started that all across the field. And somebody in my class of 54 got there and sat behind it, which was fine. And nobody was doing 1897, so I went and sat with the class president of 1896. So I sat with the one in 1896, and I sat with the one in 1895, right beside him in a chair, got my date straight. But anyway, and we talked, and his name was Seth. Seth was going to the Air Force Academy. He'd gotten an appointment there, the Naval Academy. And he was going to the Naval Academy, and he was a very good, very traditional, mature individual to be the class president. And the Cary News also wrote a write-up with different pictures that are in that Centennial Hall when you walk into the main building where the flagpole is. There are on the wall right now, in laminated onto wood, permanently put into the wall, of things that took place during those 100 years. And there is a picture of the class officers of that particular 100th year graduating class. I was at Cary High School a couple of days ago, and I just walked by and I look at that, and it makes you wonder where these four individuals who were the class officers, where they are now and what they're doing. And of course, you probably sometime, hopefully you'll find out. But anyway, when I retired in 1993, I decided I was not going to come back and sub. I was very, very fortunate. I had a big retirement dinner at Prestonwood Country Club. Had like 125 people come, teachers mostly of them, friends that I had worked, taught with earlier. Some of them came, and some basketball players that I had coached that I invited myself. Unfortunately, back in March before I retired, my mother had passed away. And my dad did come along with my sister and friends, Charlie Adams from the High School Athletic Association, who I played with basketball 3 years at Cary. And then after he transferred to East Carolina, where I was, we played 3 more years. So we had played together for 6 years, which is kind of unique. I feel sure that a lot of others have played that long, gone to the same school with teammates. But that was kind of unique, and Charlie showed up. And it was a very emotional situation for me since my mother had just passed away. But it was very rewarding. And for some reason or another, they decided it was too expensive, and they hadn't done one after that since. So I felt very honored that they were able to do that. But as the time went on and I went back and started subbing at Cary, I learned some things. It's a little more relaxing when you can walk out when the bell rings and you don't have to really worry about what's going to take place the next day. And so I noticed a lot of things about students and became probably a little bit more closer to them, talking to them, than I had when I was actually teaching, because I had so much other things to think about. After the centennial parade, anybody that had anything that brought that to the and left it in the media center. And as I said before, all the annuals, to my knowledge, were collected. People left them there. I'm thinking the 1918, there's maybe two or three. On the centennial day when everybody was there, do not remember the lady's name, but she came right when we went out on the football field. She had a lady helping her. She had graduated from Cary in 1890-something. She was 100 years old. She lived across from Cary Elementary, the building. But that was the highlight. That wish that we had known something about her. Do not remember her name. But maybe the fellow at Cary High School, Kirk Linden, I know he'll remember the incident because we were all just flabbergasted. Going back to some early history of Cary coming in my mind before I went there, the football stadium was behind the Cary Elementary building now. It was called Dry Stadium. It was named after Principal Marcus Dry. I think that's his first name. To my knowledge, he was the principal at Cary for 42 years. Now, Cary elementary principals back then were principals of grades 1 through 12, which is no longer in existence. Maybe up in the mountains somewhere in small schools that haven't consolidated. But he had to look after all of that. And from what I understand, he lived in the house across from elementary from Cary High School at that time, in a building that's still there, and a house is still there with a tin roof. I looked in the annuals of 1918 at the pictures, And there is a picture of the house across from Cary High School at that time, and elementary now, that is still standing there. It's been three or four different kinds. It was a Jones's house. They all passed away. It was a place that sold curtains, and I'm not sure what is there now. Charlie Adams, who is head of the High School Athletic Association, brick house is right beside that. And Mr. Dry lived kind of catty-cornered from that. The thing that I remember more now, whoever lives there, has the wonderful small house, has the most Christmas lights that you'll ever see, but that's just a, I think they just leave me anyway. But all the baseball games for high school were played behind the Cary High School at that time, and the field is still used for PE things for Cary Elementary. Mr. Dry is a landmark as far as being the longest reigning principal in my knowledge. The high school football field at Cary is named the Paul Cooper, who was Mr. Cooper, was the principal at Cary High School. And there is a plaque in Cary Elementary when you first walk into the right that acknowledges all the principals that were there in that building. The buses, whenever they came to Cary High School, and at that time, Cary the elementary school and the high school kids, parked beside that. If you ride there now, it's hard for you to realize that that's where the buses parked. There was a principal there named Maude Reese, who is still living, and she was the principal there for many years at Cary Elementary. And she could give you a lot of history of the Cary Elementary building after it became an elementary and they moved to the new high school. Cannot remember all the principals that were there. Mr. Dry, there was another one that they did not know about that only stayed there for a couple of years. And I don't know all, but they have the names of all the principals that were at Cary at that elementary building. Mr. Cooper moved over when they built the new building in the early 60s and was principal there. And he was a very strict, disciplinary principal and was well respected by all the people in Wake County. The Dry Stadium lost its name after they moved to the elementary building, after they moved to the new Cary High School. I think the kids, one time it was raining so hard at the football game, and all the kids sitting in the stands called on and started yelling something like, "This is not Dry Stadium, it's Wet Stadium. This is not Dry Stadium, it's Wet Stadium," or Rainy Stadium, but I remember them hollering that out. Cary, at the time that it was growing up, and I'm kind of skipping around, was a very close community. Skipping back to the football games and basketball games we played in high school, there was nothing really else to do for the people in Cary to do. And when you win, like we were winning in basketball, most of the times you had to be in the gym by the end of the Cary games because there was no place to sit. The football fields, stadiums were pretty much full. There was a group of men that we'll always remember, eight or nine men who followed the, walked along the sidelines. I remember Charlie Adams did, Mr. Adams, who owns the Adams Drugstore, which is now Ashworth. He owned the pharmacy on the corner there. He would walk along the sideline with all the other men in Cary, and Charlie and I have talked about that, about the men who walked along the sidelines when they would move the chains. Of course, you can't do that anymore, don't do that anymore. But that was kind of a unique situation. I can remember whenever it was very cold, they had three or four great big barrels full of wood they'd set on fire for people to come down and get warm during the game, which I don't think they will allow you to do anymore. But that's some remnants, skipping back to the high school days that I can remember.
Were there bleachers or places?
There were concrete bleachers with wooden slabs across them. Once you sat down, you did not move because of splinters. I do remember that part of it. But there were cheerleaders. Harold Burt was the first band director that you might want to talk, had Burt's Music Company. He's 80-some years old and still teaches band. He's still there and has his music center there on Kimmel Air Farm Road, back in the shopping center now. And my class of 1954, we're getting ready to have a 55th class reunion, and we have invited him. We've located three of the teachers we know that are in existence, and we invited Mr. Burt to come, and I feel sure he will be there. And the typing teacher will be there, and Jim Brown at that time, who was a football coach, and basketball and baseball coach will be there. And all these people are still in existence. There may be one or two more that are there that I don't remember off the top. Oh, Miss Stale, who became the typing teacher my senior year, Dot Stale, who still lives here in Cary. But anyway, that was, we got invited to our class reunion, which we're all looking forward to May the 2nd of this year. Getting back to the high school and the way that the Cary High School has grown because of the population over in flux now, and because they have the building of the two new high schools, Green Hope First and Panther Creek, have, because where the people have lowered the population of the schools of the enrollment at Cary High School, it has fluctuated way up, kind of way down, then back up again, and it's not stable as far as figuring on. They know just about it. It's been in the 2,000, 2,300, down to 1,500, 1,700, 1,800 graduating classes have ranged from my daughter graduating for almost 600 in 1977 before they built Athens Drive down to maybe 300. This graduating class at Cary will be one of this, be the smallest they've had maybe 7 or 8 years because of the building of the new high schools, which in some situations has made it better in that you can get down the halls between classes. When I went there, I had to go four different classrooms with a push cart, and it was all I could do to get to the room before the last bell rang because of how school the rooms were so the halls were so crowded. And it's expanded a lot, and compared to what it is now, they're still working on the $27 million renovation. They have had to change the time frame on tearing down buildings and building buildings. But athletic-wise, it has fluctuated to after they built Athens, the football team only won one game in 2 years, and then all the fellas who stayed, they were in the state playoffs year after year after that. But it's been difficult in that sometimes they didn't even finish 500. Basketball teams didn't finish 500 and still not. The only thing that put Cary really on the map is a high school wrestling team. And as I said before, the wrestling coach has been voted the high school wrestling coach of the year for United States 2 years ago. And it's just a phenomenal with 23 state champions in wrestling. And it's a possibility he can win two more next year. And I go sub for him. He only teaches two classes in weightlifting because he's retired, but comes back and teaches two classes.
And, what is his name again?
Jerry Winterton. And he'll be glad to talk to you about this. And he's a very modest person about his record. Of course, he gives all the credit to his wrestlers, but we know better in coaching. Phenomenal record that he has had with 600 victories. And I don't know how many conference championships he's won. I've lost count of that. But I think he's only lost one in the 20-some years he's been there. And, of course, with schools moving in and starting up, we've had to change the different caliber, change the conference and the closest of trying to play schools that are close by. And the teams and the schools change a lot. And it's kind of hard to keep up with them because you can't put the names of the schools on flags in your gym that are in your conference because the next year they may be in another conference. So there's no sense in wasting money in doing that. But now I think they're up to 9 teams, and with Holly Springs coming in this year. All right, let me try to run things back around in my head for a while. In 1975, they built new additions to Cary High School onto the end with a new gym on the end, which is now has been torn down. That's no longer in existence because they built more new facilities. Cary High School was one of the last in the Wake County systems to be renovated. They were very fortunate in that the other schools that were being renovated had to graduate from another high school. Sanderson went to Wakefield, Athens went to Middle Creek, and they were never able to go on those campuses because of the construction. But Cary, in the phases that they're doing there, is the students are allowed to stay there. The new 600-seat auditorium was 1 year in being delayed when it was finished. That's another story, and some of it was delayed, and I feel sorry for the seniors that there that didn't get a chance, but it really just, you know, they still had their times at Cary and still got their great education, which they always will get. But on senior day at Cary High School, which was started maybe 15 years ago by a principal who came in and said, we need to honor our students, and during that particular time when the students are recognized at an assembly program, all the juniors and the sophomores are allowed to come in and sit because they can't put them all in the school, in that order, in the gymnasium, and the auditorium is still not large enough to hold enough, even though the new auditorium seats 600 people. But on senior day, there have been as many with kids getting appointments to academies, been over close to $3.5 million worth of academic and athletic scholarships handed out in one senior class. Of course, the more seniors you have, the higher it's going to be. And so it's always to be able to brag on that with the senior class, how much money that they have earned academically and athletically. And it goes to their own hard work, and credit to the teachers and the coaches, which at that particular time, maybe some of the students realize, but they come back later on after they've had their families. And I've seen them come through there. I want to know what Coach Coates is. I said, well, he's no longer. He's retired. He said, oh, he helped me so much do this, that, and the other, which is very, very rewarding. This is about, and I know I'll think of a lot of things after we get through with this, things that I can remember in my 16 years at Cary High School, 12 as athletic director, and the 3 years I went there as a student in the 50s. A lot of changes. Of course, the whole town of Cary has completely changed. And there's a few people who still remember how it was. When Academy Street was a dirt road leading up to Cary Elementary. At that particular time, Cary was in the Wake County system. And sometimes in the 80s when they merged with the Raleigh City Schools, I don't remember the date on that. Of course, it changed a lot also because of it being 18 senior high schools in Wake County now. And a lot of the senior high schools that were there when I was coming along merged into one high school. Wendell High School and Roseville High School merged into East Wake High School. And so it's a merged Cary, lost students. And you can look at it as far as athletic-wise, because that gives a least amount, not that many players trying out for one team. But we always looked at it in a positive way. Kids who could not have played at Cary because there were so many there get a chance to play at another high school because of it being built that would probably wouldn't have been able to get a chance to play at Cary High School. And now they're getting a chance to play because the numbers are not there going out where the coaches have to cut players. I can remember my first couple of years before Athens were built, we had over 150 kids come out with football. Of course, you have to make a cut. Some of those kids could have probably played somewhere else and done really well, but it's a decision that a coach has to make on what they see with a kid in 2 or 3 days. And that's the positive way of looking at the more schools. And of course, the disadvantage of sometimes of that you have with merging schools, and it has to do primarily with the academic part of it, because you're able to get money for more things in science labs that they would have in maybe a small high school who would not. The disadvantage in some situations is that you have, if you put three high schools together, in that here are two students who don't get a chance to be the class president, two students who would have been a class president had they kept their old school together in a small numbers, and two students who won't be annuals, in charge of the annuals on a newspaper, or you could go on and on, who may not be on the student council, or maybe who would not make the basketball team when they started the mergers back in the 60s. So there is some good and some bad to it, but I still say 96% of high school students are just great. They're well-mannered in some situations, and some, of course, are still trying to find their way. They may not find their way till they get out of high school later on.
Now, when you started at Cary High, the schools were integrated by that time?
No, ma'am. They were not integrated until the 1970s. When I was there, we were called the Cary White Imps. Imps is the only imp mascot in the United States. 1986, ESPN did a survey of most unusual high school mascots. Cary was ranked fourth. Just on the sideline to throw this out, the number one, and I had the list with my athletic director a couple of weeks ago, went back, we had lost it, we didn't know where it was, went back to ESPN on the computer, and by punching here and there and the other, it popped up again from 1986. The number one most unusual name, don't know who ranked it, was called the Syrup Makers, who was in Georgia. I think that's where Cairo Syrup is. Another one were called the Beet Diggers. One was called the Nimrods. And one was called the Dots out of West Virginia. And but that's just the ones that come to my mind. It's very difficult to see how cheerleaders could get out and cheer Go Beat Diggers, but anyway, or Go Nimrods, or Go Syrup Makers, or Yay Yay Syrup Makers on the cheerleading. But anyway, evidently it was done. And but anyway, that's just the thing about the imps. Now, doing the integration, naturally, they had to drop the name White in front of it. Mm-hmm. And so now it is still the most unusual. Schools will come and make and call Carrie the Wimps, which, you know, they're used to all that. Doesn't make any difference to the kids. And every now and then, some school will come out and paint on the sidewalk at the school, Wimps, we're going to beat you and all that. But that's kind of died out. They don't do that much anymore, which administrators are very glad of, because, you know, then the kids at Carrie would get mad and they go to that high school and paint something all over their building. And so I think it's kind of died out a little bit, hopefully. And the biggest thing was on buses, which was my biggest worry as athletic director with the buses. Because of the breaking down and the age and the Boosters Club having to buy and pay for the buses. Wake County Schools did not do that. Now with the merger, after I left, and I'm thankful the person that took over, he doesn't have to worry about the buses as much as I did. That, I think, was my number one headache. Of course, it was supposed to be my history classes, and should have been, but when you got to transport like three teams to different places and finding the drivers to do this with, it was probably the biggest headache that I had. We've had some breakdown at schools, which do, but now the upkeep is a lot better. And I've even had a breakdown and the parents have to bring the kids back in their cars, and then you got to go find the bus somewhere on the side of the road and have somebody tow it in. But anyway, fortunately that doesn't happen anymore, and I'm glad, because because even complaining to my wife, she got tired of me complaining about me worrying about the buses. Yeah. But it's just a responsibility that your conscience has to keep a hold of you, that the buses were one of the biggest problems that you have.
So the schools were, when you started teaching and coaching at Carrie High, it was integrated by
yes,
that
ma'am,
time.
Definitely.
Okay,
good.
Were you seeing a lot of tension still?
Not at
issues?
That particular time. No. Now, when I taught at Enloe High School, it was the first integrated school in the South. Now, they had already done their thing over in Little Rock, Arkansas. But when they integrated and started Enloe in, I'm going to say 62 or 63 when Enloe was built, along about the same time the Carrie High School was built in the county. And Broughton was the only other high school in the city limits of Raleigh at that time. And they had a couple of minority students that came to Enloe High School. One was the later who became the mayor, Mr. Lightner. His son Clarence came there. But Clarence played all three sports, so that made it a little easier to do this. And then as years went on and on and on, they changed the Barron line. And Ligon High School was totally all black school at that time, and then they made it a middle school, so they kind of started moving the minority students around. And Carrie, a lot of them went to Broughton, and Carrie had very few until they started busing them in from over behind an area behind the Memorial Auditorium called Walnut Terrace. And that was a big thing with the coaches, because when school football practice started, they had to send a bus over there to pick them up. Then after school, after they got with them with football practice, they had to send a van to go take them back home. And one of the coaches had to do this. And it being a 10 to 12 mile trip over there, and there were some very good athletes that came out of that area behind Walnut Terrace, it helped as far as the win losses. But as far as the tension, I feel sure there was some as it went on later on, isolated groups, but no really big thing. Now, I was not there when it first started with the integration, so I really can't tell. I've heard other coaches talk about that the coaches probably helped more with any tensions than anything else. We're talking about it with the athletic teams and the groups getting along together as far as that concerned. I feel sure there was some there. I remember there was some tension when I talked about. Talked about that the principal went and got the coaches when they were having some trouble between the groups. Are you still doing this? Okay.
Uh-huh.
When they had some out on the out where the buses used to park, and he called for the coaches to come help, and it's like three or four. One of them just related that to me, that they were a big help in separating anything that started when it first started. But it seems to be, you know, as far as that's concerned, there are, with the state championship wrestling teams, there are some black kids who have been state champions in wrestling, who have gotten scholarships because of the athletics to play football. Each year there's some who get a lot from Cary High School. There are 11 seniors this year playing athletics at colleges in Virginia and North Carolina who will be graduating with their degrees who played athletics 4 years ago at Cary High School. So that's 11 we know of. And at this particular time, the athletic department prints up a sheet of all they can find who are doing athletics somewhere, even down to student trainers. And I think last year there was like 30 kids, which includes those 11 who are graduating. And there will be some this year. I already know of at least 8 kids who are going to get some kind of athletic scholarships from Cary High School. Now, there's other high schools, Apex, who probably have more than that because of the numbers. And in all the school areas, it depends on the caliber of the students, where they live, and where they have to come from to meet the numbers that the people down in the county office do that. And that's every system that you go into.